Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 15th of December, recording at 4:22 p.m. That's Greenwich Mean Time. It's a bit early for me. It's been kind of a madcap week here. Six cultural events, five concerts, and an opera that's extending through Saturday. I think I get back to normal next week. Now, first, though, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the asset classes, but I want to start, as I always do, with a quick review of the week. In terms of stock markets, we had some real strength, albeit there was a late reaction in the Indian stock market, possibly, as I said yesterday, the last of the reactions prior to the resumption of a number of these stock market uptrends, and which are being led for the most part by the Asian markets and the commodities markets. That's potentially important. I think it really is important. So very much the Santa Claus rally. Government bonds. We had some real weakness in here over the last week, and today's action, though, is a bit steadier following some low inflation data coming out of the US. And in currencies, the dollar has been rallying this week, and that has continued here today, and that has weighed on precious metals, all of the precious metals. It hasn't driven them down too much, but they have definitely been affected by it. And industrial metals, however, have been generally firm, particularly nickel. It's down a little bit today, but it hit a new all-time high yesterday. And some of these soft commodities have been quite firm, including coffee and cocoa. And that's pretty much the highlights as I see them at any rate. So where are we in terms of this big picture long-term outlook? Well, I said in my introduction, or my review rather, I said that I felt that the stock market reactions that we had been experiencing, these are predictable events, which I said would be just a bit sharper pullbacks and consolidations than we had seen during that unrelentingly persistent upward move, which occurred throughout much of September, all of October, and most of November. And the recent strength that we have seen, as I say, by a number of stock markets, suggests that that phase is over. I think that reaction and ranging phase, longer consolidation, in other words, has been helped to a conclusion, a positive inclusion with the resumption of the upward trends. It's been helped in that respect by the dollar's rally, because people were worried that that was turning into a bit of a crisis. Okay, and then we also could say that there hasn't been too much. Well, no, I'll go on to this point in a moment. Now, third year of the U.S. presidential cycle, historically really quite bullish. And I think that's going to be an important factor as we go forward in 2007. Now, there are the headwinds that we need to be concerned about, or potential headwinds. I've often referred to these as storm clouds that are out on the distant horizon, but could come into shore and affect markets. The one that concerns me the most would be rising long-dated government bond yields. And so that storm cloud moved a lot closer over the last week, although has taken a small step backwards here today, as I already mentioned. But we do really need to watch that. Initially, I feel rising government bond yields will be bullish for stock markets because some of the money will be coming out of the fixed interest sector as people say, well, maybe the U.S. isn't going to have a hard landing. I've never felt it would have a hard landing, as you know, although I've said the risks were to the downside. I've expected a soft landing. But as people say that the U.S., as I say, will economy will muddle through with some sort of soft landing, and that therefore the Fed is less likely to be cutting interest rates quickly, and also to say that quite possibly inflationary pressures might be building up once again, that can indeed weigh on government bond markets. Now, that's definitely going to happen in my view. It's just a matter of whether it happens quickly or more months, further months down the down the road, and that will eventually, as I say, cause problems for stock markets. When is that most likely to be the case? Well, the charts will show us, but my hunch will be when government bond yields threaten, let alone exceed, the highs that we saw earlier this year. Most of those highs were in May, and it wasn't by coincidence that stock markets went into their sharp corrective phase at that time. The other storm cloud that I would be concerned, am concerned about, will be energy prices. It's only a matter of time, in my view, before energy prices surprise. It shouldn't really be a surprise, but it will surprise many investors who are beginning to hope that oil was on its way back down under $40 a barrel. But before those energy prices begin to push higher once again. And what might be a trigger point for concerns? Well, it would certainly be above $65, but I think if we see crude oil holding above $65 and then moving on, let alone moving on towards 70 and above, that move will become a headwind for stock markets. It'll be one that will obviously gradually be increasing with every dollar on the upside that we see for the crude oil price. So that's a concern. And then the third area, which is probably less significant than the other two, unless we were to see a rout, and I don't think we will, but that would be renewed dollar weakness. And certainly if we see the US dollar index getting back down to 80, let alone lower, that will become a front page item once again, and could cause some definite nervousness in the markets. But that is not a problem at the moment. As you know, the dollar is in a technical rally phase, but watch for an eventual downward dynamic which will change all that. Now, therefore, my best guess still at this stage is that we get the so-called Santa Claus rally that probably carries into January, and there's a good chance that markets could do quite well in the first quarter of 2007, at least. Now, I do feel that there's probably at least a 50-50 chance that we get a medium-term correction at some point in 2007, but I don't think that that's imminent. I don't see any evidence that that is imminent right now, despite the storm cloud in the form of rising yields becoming a little getting a little closer. But far more important than my trying to guess when that may actually occur, if we are going to see a medium-term correction, I don't think we'll see a bear market. I think that would take some sort of extreme exogenous event, which I'm not in the business of forecasting. But another correction, if we are to see one. Now, you remember last year at this time, I said the odds were extremely high that we would get a medium-term correction in 2Q and 3Q. And, well, it all got crammed into 2Q, as you recall, and we were recovering, markets were recovering in 3Q. But that, I felt, was very predictable. At this stage, I'm only really regarding it as a possibility when we get into that seasonally more difficult period. Okay, the themes that I like. Read Donald Cox today. I was thrilled to have his December issue back from India. There's some interesting insights regarding India in the report. I haven't had a chance to read it all. Today has been so busy, but I have certainly posted it for you. And he also is talking about the commodity sector taking off once again. Now, I think from what I've seen in my preliminary assessment of that report, which I'll be reading in detail over the weekend, is that he's talking mostly about the commodity shares, but I certainly doubt he'd be looking for a collapse in commodity prices against that background. Well, I think some of the evidence that we're seeing, those resources, commodity shares in general, are firming up very, very clearly. And I think that they could easily be among the star performers for 2007. And you know, there's been a fashion for the pharmaceuticals recently, and there's been a fashion for the telecoms and some of the tech companies, just because they'd done so badly previously, and people felt that, well, you know, it was Buggins' turn for them to get their rallies. And to a certain extent, that became self-feeding for a while. My own view is that a much, much more bullish long-term theme is the supply and elasticity meets rising demand subject, which has been a principal investment theme for us since 2003. And I think that we'll see many of those resources shares doing extremely well. If there's a question mark that I have over any of them in 2007, it would be the oil sector, although I do expect oil's recovery to be well underway at some point in 2007. But I think it's the industrial metal stocks and quite possibly the precious metal shares, which have languished for much of this year. I think those are likely to be strong points. And then there's the emerging market theme, and that's the other, that has been the other really big investment theme at Fuller Money since 2003, and is actually the biggest of my long-term investment themes. And again, this is a move that's being led by China and India, but it also spills over into all of the commodity producing countries. So that ties in, you know, the emerging market theme ties in with the supply and elasticity theme, which, and the rising demand, which is certainly increasing corporate earnings and GDP growth in the commodity producing countries, and particularly those that have embraced capitalism, as so many have in the last few years. And then, of course, there are the developed country resources producers, such as Canada and Australia, which and New Zealand, which are doing extremely well in here at the moment. And I expect those to be at the forefront of market gains, not lagging. So that's my equity assessment for the time being. Government bonds, this is a dangerous area in my view, because those inflationary pressures are going to come back. You know, a lot of people have been talking about, or a lot of people have been concluding that it was inevitable that the U.S. was going to have a hard landing. And they have extrapolated that view, saying that that would be very bad for China and India and many, and bad for Europe and so on. So there has been a fairly significant group of strategists and analysts and investors who have taken this view and said that bond yields would go much lower and that deflationary pressures would pick up once again. That's not my view at all, as you know. And I think the inflationary pressures will be picking up once again. And in the seeming paradox, of course, it's quite possible for the U.S. economy to weaken, as it has, and for inflationary pressures to actually be rising, creating a stagflation type of situation. And that's particularly likely to be the case against the background of a weak U.S. dollar. And I do feel that we will see additional U.S. dollar weakness, as I've already said. Okay, Now, in terms of currencies, I'll just add that the dollar is really the big story here. We have several long-term themes that are running. First, no country wants a strong currency. In this environment of competitive pressures, which have been increased by globalization. So they intervene, and they job, both in terms of jawboning, in terms of increasing the supply of those currencies, and just about any other method that they can use to prevent their currencies from increasing. So a strong currency is a hot potato that soon gets passed onwards. Well, certainly if it's a European a currency, if it's the Canadian dollar, if it's the South African rand, if it's the Australian or New Zealand dollar. Now, a revival in bullish expectations for resources and commodities in general will, of course, put some upward pressure on those currencies, and those countries, the resources producing countries, may well have some difficulty in preventing their currencies from being pushed higher, but you can bet that they're going to fight it as much as possible. Now, the currencies where there is the greatest long-term scope for appreciation, I feel, is in Asia, but those currencies are certainly managed, and I don't see that changing anytime quickly. But if I were to bet on any currencies over the long term, and any currencies appreciating, it would be the Asian currencies, and I would say the renminbi above the yen. It's a surer bet, although I wouldn't be at all surprised if the yen doesn't rise in years ahead, although it's not a currency that I like at all at the moment. Singapore dollar has been one of the stronger ones, and that is reflecting Singapore's increasing importance as an Asian financial player, and it's really with Singapore being perhaps the Switzerland of Asia, only maybe going one better in that respect. And to a lesser extent, we see upward pressure on sterling, as the city of London, the financial district in London, has become increasingly important, a bigger and bigger influence on the overall UK economy. So that success story for the London financial industry has certainly contributed to upward pressure on sterling. Okay. And moving on to precious metals. I'm a big bull long term, as you know. In the short term, these are suffering from the current technical rally that we're seeing in the dollar. They're also suffering from competition from other asset classes, mainly stock markets. And I think sentiment has been eroded a little bit in terms of the slower recovery that we saw off the June lows, following well, particularly relative to what stock markets had seen, and those reactions in May and June were very sharp, and that damaged sentiment. Those were clearly medium-term corrections. They were predictable, and you know, because prices were accelerating higher before those corrections, but the precious metal sector has been involved in a support building, which I think will continue to cushion downward risk during the period of this dollar rally. I feel I may see more of my precious metals positions stopped out by this current reaction, but if that happens, well, so be it, and I'll hope to have an opportunity to increase them again at somewhat lower levels, but I do not expect the June lows to be tested. Certainly not by gold and silver, which are the precious metals of greatest interest to most of you. And silver remains high beta gold. It'll outperform on the upside, and it'll also fall further during the corrective phases. But again, talking about the commodity sector taking off again, and with the global economy can remaining synchronized in a period of growth expansion, and with the US very likely to avoid the hard landing recession that many people have been forecasting, those inflationary pressures will be picking up again, and that will be a favorable environment for precious metals. All those factors will contribute to a favorable environment for precious metals, at least until central banks start pushing interest rates up once again, and then that will bring the volatility back into the precious metals section. Industrial metals, really, they have been incredibly strong. I yield to no one in my bullishness of this sector, even I have been very surprised by just how well they have held gains. Some of them do look vulnerable, though, and we can expect a certain amount of volatility in this sector. The industrial metal that looks most vulnerable technically is copper. That's been the case for a number of months now, so copper may uncouple from the others for a while, but again, overall, this is a secular bull market, and in secular bull markets, most of the surprises are on the upside. Now, I should have also mentioned, in terms of support for precious metals, I think that a bit of the hedge fund activity that was very active up until the May-June correction for precious metals, I think some of that interest has swung to soft commodities. We saw the way the grain and soybean complex surged dramatically a few months ago. That's now in a medium-term corrective phase prior to additional gains, in my view. But we're seeing some very bullish-looking technical action in coffee, which is relatively new, and in cocoa. Cocoa very recently has strengthened quite a bit overall. Cotton's looking stronger. I think even lumber is looking stronger. So I think that most of the fund speculative activity has been looking at soft commodities in recent months, and that is quite likely to remain the case for a while longer. So those are interesting areas as well. And I think that's pretty much a wrap, folks. So I'll just say I'm looking forward to going to the Royal Opera House tonight at Covent Garden to see Carmen in a few minutes' time, and back to the London Philharmonic Orchestra on Saturday. And so lots going on. Relatives coming in. Well, I hope you're having just as much fun and goings on in this rundown to the holiday season. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.